Welcome to Fall in Love with Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the amazing Miss Terry Wildeman. Terry, why don't you take it from here?
Thank you, Tanya. Your voice, your energy, it just explodes. It's fantastic. And really sets the stage for those of us who are speaking. So thank you for that. It's much appreciated. And that leads me into the topic that I'm sharing today. Fall in love with who you are. And when we fall in love with who you are, it's exciting to be able to be there for other folks. It's exciting to be there for ourselves. And the energy does come through with everyone that we interact with. Many of us really struggle sometimes with thinking or feeling that we're somebody we're not. And I call that the imposter syndrome. And that imposter syndrome can be so debilitating because oftentimes it's not true. Most of the time it's not true. And I'll say 100% of the time it's not true. We're not imposters. It's just that we have been fed so much stuff from the people in our world that we begin to think that we're not good enough, that we're not worthwhile, that we don't have the talent. Who are we to do this? Who are we to do that? And it comes from our parents, our teachers, our spouses, our kids, our bosses, friends, relatives. I know for myself that I experienced it and didn't even understand that that's what it was. Until around 1994, 1995, I was in a workshop, and it was a program where there were five ladies who came together all the time, about once a week, or sometimes every other week. And we had a visitor come who always said, "You ladies need to learn to love yourself." And it was the first time that I'd ever really heard that. And I remember thinking, I love myself. Who is she to tell me that? And when I look back now to 1995, goodness, that person was spot on, absolutely spot on, because learning to love yourself is actually a lifelong commitment because we evolve to various levels as long as we allow ourselves to grow. And it's deep. It's really entrenched in the five pillars of life. The five pillars are wealth, health, relationships, career, and spirituality. And I'll say it again for those of you who are taking notes. The five pillars of life are wealth, health, relationships, career, and spirituality. It's really important that we love ourselves in each of those pillars of life, that we show up for ourselves first in each of those pillars, because then and only then can we truly serve others who we associate with in those pillars. Now, I'm not talking about the diva-ish type falling in love with yourself. That's not where I'm going. That comes from ego. No, 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 and no. I'm talking about values-based, really loving yourself and who you are. It's about the trust in yourself, honoring yourself, respecting yourself, being in integrity with yourself, being loyal to yourself, and loving yourself. And the acronym for that is THRILL. And I usually teach THRILL in regards to leadership. So I'll say it again. T in the word THRILL is for trusting yourself. H is for honoring yourself. R is for respecting yourself. I is integrity. L is for loyalty. And L is for love. So when we do all of that for ourselves, loving ourselves becomes easier. And this imposter syndrome doesn't have room to live in our hearts and our minds. So what does the imposter syndrome look like? A couple years ago, I was at a speaking event in Fort Lauderdale. It was being taught by the amazing Michael Port, his wife Amy, and their staff, their team, who were absolutely incredible teachers, every single one of them. At the end of the 3 days, I sat there thinking, geez, I have been speaking since I was in high school. And I felt like such a fraud. I felt like I didn't know anything. There was so much information that was shared. My head was spinning. And I've been around a while. I know how to get up on a stage. I know how to speak. And yes, I have failed. And yes, I've made my mistakes. And all those failures and mistakes on stage have just made me a better speaker. But after listening to these amazing people and watching them, all I could think of was, oh, I'm a fraud. I am such a fraud. And I spoke with Michael about it afterwards, and he looked at me and he said, Terry, I have felt the same way, and sometimes I still do. And I walked away from there thinking, yes, I may have felt like a fraud in that moment because there was so much more to learn. However, in fact, I'm not a fraud. I have 30 years of speaking experience, and what this event did was teach me how to do it even better and better and better, because it was time for me to learn those skill sets. It was time for me to be able to step forward in a way I haven't been stepping up and didn't realize it. So everything that I learned, I took to heart, and I use now to make me an even better speaker than I was before, and it's called continuous learning. It's about growing and moving forward every single day to take in new ideas, new subjects, new ways of presenting things. So I thank Michael Port for that experience. And yes, the imposter syndrome definitely, definitely took hold that day. Now, one of the things with the five pillars of life is that it's really important to ask the who, what, when, where, why, and how questions with each pillar. For example, if you have challenges with wealth and you feel like you stand out and you're being an imposter because you're acting like you're super, super wealthy and you've got zero in your bank account, you know, there is a law of attraction piece there that says that, yes, you've got to feel it to be there, act it to be there. There's a whole different piece of acting it, feeling it, and knowing it. So when you bring in the who, what, when, where, why, and how, and answer those questions when it comes to wealth, the answers are there on paper when you write them in a journal, and you can see where there's authenticity and where there are areas that need work. And we all need areas, and we all need work in each of these areas. Or I don't like using the word need because that means lack. All of us can do better and better and better until the day we die. We can just keep growing and growing and growing. When it comes to health, again, the who, what, when, where, why, and how. When you fall in love with who you are, when you fall in love with your size, when you fall in love and accept your body, and you really do what you can to love your body, to help it be the best that it can be in the moment, you're doing well. But if you're just going to sit on the couch and say to yourself, oh, I'm going to be like that one day, you're being the imposter. You're not loving yourself. You're allowing old habits to hold you instead of creating new habits to get you to where you want to be. I myself, when it comes to the health piece, I will say that I was challenged with that. And I used to be an athlete in my 20s. And once I had kids, that all fell apart. And I had to really take a good look at myself as to being an imposter. Because if I'm teaching others how to be healthy in wealth, health, relationships, career, and spirituality, and how to do the best that they can be, I need to step to the plate. So in the last few weeks, I said, you know what? I'm going to get myself back in shape. I'm never going to be the athlete that I was in my 20s. Who knows? Maybe I could be better. However, it's time to start exercising and doing the things that my body needs for it to be really healthy. So I went to my gym. I've been exercising every day. I have a trainer that works with me, and I'm walking my talk. And it feels really good to be sharing with you about health because I'm not an imposter anymore. I'm not saying to people, go exercise when I'm not doing it myself. That's being an imposter. Where relationships are concerned, where are you showing up? Where are you not showing up? We can often be an imposter when we're not being real with the people around us, when we're not being real with ourselves. Again, this is where we need to put the oxygen on ourselves first so that we can help with other people. And it's important that we share how we feel and think and take ownership of our part of what is going on in any relationship, whether it's a client, it's a coworker, it's an employee, a parent, a sibling, a child, or a spouse. Some of the challenges with relationships that cause us to feel like a fraud or step into the imposter syndrome is when in these relationships, we get a lot of not being believed or not being trusted. That's been a big thing in my world, not being believed and not being trusted. In growing up, I was always a little bit different. I was always very active, very hard charging. I was raised in a Hispanic culture, and I didn't buy into a lot of the machismo stuff in the Spanish culture and always challenged that. So I was always labeled a little bit different, a little bit of black sheep of the family. And I followed my intuition. My heart really guided me. But it hurt when I was being made fun of because I did something I believed in. It hurt when I wasn't taken seriously. It hurt when I would say something and somebody would say, who are you to say that? There were several situations growing up that I didn't realize how deeply they affected me. And it wasn't until a couple of years ago that I realized that that one scenario has been subconsciously hidden and affecting how seriously I'm being taken in being trusted and believed. One of the areas is being a holistic practitioner. I became a holistic practitioner because I burned out. I was trying to be all things with everybody. And that's another piece of the imposter syndrome. You really can't be all things to everybody. You've got to take care of yourself first so that you can help others. You've heard me say that now several times. I didn't do that. So in trying to be there for everybody, I ended up falling apart. And it took almost 6 months to come back from that one burnout. So what ends up happening is when you're not believed that you're trying this and this and this to get healthy, or you're being laughed at because you're doing some kind of alternative modality to heal, that's like, ooh, you really want the people in your world to honor it. You want the people in the world to support you. And when those you love don't support you and they're very dubious and think you're crazy because you're doing this, this, or this to improve your health, it can be a little traumatizing. An example of that was in 1998, I became a Reiki master. It was new and different, and I would work on my mother and my father, and they looked at me like I was crazy. They were like, well, what is this? It's of the devil, you know, on and on. And the more I kept studying holistic medicine and working with them and sharing with them the new things that I was learning, it was so different from Western medicine and what they knew to be true that I had my dad say to me, oh, that EFT stuff, that doesn't work. I don't believe in that. My mother, I don't believe in any of that. The two people in the world I wanted to accept me the most. So what would happen is I had a hard time showing up in the beginning feeling like a fraud because I needed those two people to support me. And it took a while to realize, no, I didn't. I was doing amazing work. There were miracles happening before me, and I couldn't allow the two people I loved the most to get in my way. So I had to let go of that imposter syndrome, of that feeling of who am I to be able to help people heal themselves? Who am I to be able to work with people? And even up until fairly recently, because the work I've done has gotten so big, so deep, and so wide, that they just look at me sometimes like, who are you? And I'm writing my eighth book. You know, another example, speaking of books, was when I got my very first book contract, 1997. It landed in my lap out of the sky. I went to pick up some books from a publisher who lived 3 minutes from my house. Those books were going to be shared because he was sponsoring a speech that I was delivering. And when I went to pick him up, I saw what he was doing on the wall with all these different book covers. And I told him, you're missing one topic, which happened to be telephone skills. 3 hours later, I walked out with a book contract. I go home, and my husband looks at me with three heads on my, as if I had three heads on my shoulder, like, where and how would you get a book contract? And it was said with such, are you out of your mind? And I remember being really, really hurt about that. And it was hard for me to write the book, to even start it, because all of a sudden in the back of my head, I kept hearing, who are you to write a book? What do you know about this? What do you do? Da 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 da, on and on. And then the family came, who are you to write a book? And then remembering all the times in grammar school when the nuns would be redlining out everything and I wasn't good enough. And here I am writing my third solo book, and I've had 6 co-authored books. So when we get past those feelings and the naysayers, we can start to really look at who we are, because we have to believe and trust in ourselves first. We have to. And we have to learn to say, no, I am serious about this. I do want this. So work with me, say yes, and let's awaken the possibilities together to get to the next step. So some of the techniques that you can use to assist you in breaking free of not being taken seriously, breaking free of the imposter syndrome, breaking free of the lack of not feeling good enough, not valuing yourself enough, is to write down on a piece of paper every single thing that you are good at. Now, here's what you may find. You're going to sit there looking at a blank piece of paper, and you're going to say, I'm not good at anything. We tend to do that. So we'll go to the next step if that happens. Write down everything you're not good at. Write it all down. Boom, boom, boom. Because we're really good at focusing on what we're not good at. We're really, really good at that. And just keep writing it down. And just keep writing it down. And when you're finished, I'd like for you to write the exact opposite of what it is that you wrote. For example, say that you're not good at saying no. The exact opposite is, I'm good at saying yes. And as you look at that, feelings of being an imposter may rise to the surface. Yet, take a good look and imagine yourself saying, yes, I am good at this. And what does it feel like? What does it look like? What does it sound like? And when you take all that in, if you're really good at drawing, draw a picture of it. Nice. Say, perhaps I will never learn how to drive. I will never learn how to drive. I remember saying, I'm never going to learn how to drive. There's no way. And I got behind the wheel of the car because my cousin walked me through it. And oh my God, I learned how to drive a stick in 10 minutes. Boom, 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 boom. But I had to get out of my own way to learn how to drive a car. The idea of going in and making a sale. How many of you like, oh my gosh, I'm so scared to promote myself? When all you have to do is look at it as a conversation. Instead of looking at it as promoting yourself, you're having a heart-centered conversation with somebody. And you ask open-ended questions. And in that beautiful conversation, with the open-ended questions, and the person sitting on the other side starts feeding you all the information that you need to say, I can do that. You walk out with a contract because you spoke from the heart. And you asked just the right questions because you listened. That's different from being the hardcore salesperson to a salesperson who loves themselves enough to listen and give the client what they want. So the imposter syndrome dissolves. It completely, completely dissolves. So the key to get into seeing things differently and seeing things from 30,000 feet above and at sea level is to shift into the heart organ. The heart organ, you may say, what, Terry, what are you talking about? Well, the heart organ is the very first organ in the body to appear at conception. And it's the most powerful pump in the world. You can actually measure the electromagnetic field of the heart 6 to 10 feet away from the body in the 360 degree circumference. And the heart itself intuitively knows what is going on 5 to 6 seconds before things actually happen. And that was proven in scientific research that was done by the HeartMath Institute. The heart then sends messages to the brain. The brain then transmits that intuitive information throughout the body. So there's a technique that I use called QuickShift. And in QuickShift, it is a tool to take you into the heart, breathe deeply into the heart, and stay there for a few moments and just think of things that make you feel really good. And what's happening is there's a physiological effect happening in the body where you reduce cortisol levels that create stress and you increase DHEA levels, which helps to feed and make you feel better. So as you just put your hand on your chest, use your hand as an air pump, and breathe into your heart. Take a deep breath and breathe out of your heart. And just keep breathing deeply and then think of something absolutely delicious that makes you feel really, really good as you breathe deeply. And after a bit, take a good look at what's going on around you when you think that you're feeling this imposter syndrome and ask yourself if it's really true. And what will probably happen is that you will see things from a different perspective because you've connected the brain and the head and the brain and the heart, and you see things differently when you do that. You're coherent, you're grounded, you're in the moment. Sometimes the imposter syndrome happens when we're way in our heads and we get fearful of what it is that is about to happen. And this very, very simple technique will take you gently out of the imposter syndrome and help you fall in love with who you really are. So I would love to be able to take any questions around falling in love with who you are, the imposter syndrome, the five pillars of life, or anything else that I've talked about today to assist you in helping you be the person that you are meant to be in this lifetime, because your tribe is waiting for you.